Support comes from Empower Missouri, working to fight poverty and secure basic human needs and equal justice through coalition building and advocacy. Information about involvement at empowermissouri.org/action.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Hi, everybody. This is Jason Rosenbaum, a political correspondent with St. Louis Public Radio. Earlier this week, I was covering a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood Great Rivers, which is the affiliate that encompasses St. Louis and Southwest Missouri. And the guest of honor at this event was National Planned Parenthood President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson. Some of McGill Johnson's remarks to the crowd in Clayton touched on how Missouri was a bright spot recently in the abortion rights movement. That's because the state's voters legalized abortion in 2024 with a measure known as Amendment 3.
We are not without our electoral or political power. And when we have opportunity to show up at the ballot box and demonstrate state by state how it actually matters and why it is important to us, why it crosses party lines, it crosses gender lines, it crosses racial, demographic lines, and, you know, geographic lines. Like, people, we are a majoritarian issue, and that freedom wins, and that's why it's so important.
After McGill Johnson's remarks, I sat down with her and Planned Parenthood Great Rivers President and CEO Margot Riphagen about the plans to defend Amendment 3. That's an especially relevant topic now since Republican lawmakers in the General Assembly, such as State Representative Brian Seitz of Branson, are trying to place another ballot item before voters to repeal Amendment 3 and replace it with a much more restrictive environment for abortion.
Missourians have always supported a culture of life. They also desire to influence their government through their elected representatives and participate via their personal vote.
I started off our conversation by asking McGill Johnson about what Amendment 3's win last year means for the national abortion rights movement.
Look, I think it's incredibly exciting that Missouri had that win in November, and the fact that Missourians are actually able to get access to abortion a few months later. And it says that, you know, that really, no matter what state you are in, the majority of people support access to abortion. They believe the decision should be left to patients and their providers, and there's no room in that exam room for politicians. And every time we have seen abortion be on the ballot in the most democratic way, we've been able to achieve reproductive freedom in state constitutions, and I think that's what we're going to see moving forward.
This would not have passed without Donald Trump voters. If you look at the results, I think there were 200 or 300,000 more people that voted for Amendment 3 than Kamala Harris. But for better or for worse, Planned Parenthood is seen as a Democratic-leaning group. You spoke at the Democratic National Convention, for instance, with the caveat that there are not a lot of Republican politicians who are supportive of abortion rights. Is the result in Missouri show that if abortion rights advocates want to legalize abortion in other so-called red states, they're going to have to target voters that may not be a sure thing, basically?
I mean, this is the thing that we know that has been true, that remains true, is that abortion is a bipartisan issue, right? Folks support abortion access across the spectrum, that it's not just about, you know, right or left, or this is really about folks having access to healthcare and making sure that they get it in their own state. So it's just an issue that cuts across party lines because it's common sense healthcare.
Exactly. And I think oftentimes this issue has been framed as a polarizing issue, and I think that's a bit of a false equivalence. The majority of Americans support reproductive freedom, and that's why you've seen wins as varied as, you know, winning in New York and California and Missouri and Montana, right? States across the spectrum are supporting access to reproductive freedom, and that means you have to draw across party lines, across generations, really, and across gender. We've seen more men come out in support for reproductive freedom as well.
When I tweeted out that Amendment 3 passed, when I was still on Twitter — I'm no longer on Twitter because of my own mental health concerns — first of all, it was the most looked at tweet I had ever sent out, and out of 102,000. But the overwhelming response from people was, this isn't going to last. Trump is going to bring forth some sort of national abortion ban and basically poo-pooing this victory. There would have to be a lot of things that happen for that to actually occur, especially if it's in statute. But how worried are both of you that that type of reaction from people who are skeptical of this win in Missouri may actually become reality?
I mean, I think for us, and Jason, you know this, like you're here in St. Louis, you've spent all your, like a lot of time thinking about what does it look like in Missouri. I think for us, this is, we are continuing the fight, and we understand from talking to supporters, from talking to voters, from talking to our patients, that folks want access to abortion and access to healthcare in Missouri, and that anti-abortion politicians are going to continue coming after Planned Parenthood. They're going to continue coming after the right to access. So I think just from Missouri's perspective, yes, of course, we are worried about what will happen on the national level. And we also have been here for 90 years in Missouri. We have seen over and over again these attempts to, you know, defund Planned Parenthood, to kick us off of Medicaid, to not allow us to provide the health care that Missourians need. So we know that regardless of what happens nationally or even locally, that the majority of folks are with us.
And I would add to that that, you know, if you look at the administration and you see the people that the president has surrounded himself with, you know, I believe that personnel is policy. And he has surrounded himself, including his vice president, with a number of people who are very invested in an anti-abortion agenda. The author of Project 2025, where we know there are specific outlines to come after mifepristone through the Comstock Act, or identify other ways through HHS to put some controls around mifepristone. So we believe, right, that this president, you know, told us who he was a long time ago with respect to advancing an anti-abortion agenda, and we should expect it. So I think the people who are skeptical have a right to be skeptical because of what we see around him and the kinds of conversations that we are hearing through the administration, including the attack on Planned Parenthood specifically. And we also know that they are afraid because they know that Planned Parenthood and abortion are both more popular than this administration. And so a full frontal attack is also going to be very challenging for them.
Now, I do not want to understate the impact of Amendment 3 since it passed in Missouri. It has basically struck down decades worth of anti-abortion laws here, some of which I covered in the legislature. Abortion is available in places like Columbia for the first time in years, which means not only people in St. Louis and Kansas City can get abortion access, but also people in rural Missouri. But it's been a slow process. Like the Republican Attorney General is fighting implementation of this tooth and nail. Right now, medication abortion isn't available in Missouri because the State Department of Health hasn't approved it. What would you both say to people who voted for Amendment 3, were really excited about it, and maybe looking at the status quo and maybe underwhelmed thus far, even if they know the context of why it's at this point?
I think what I would say to folks who are, you know, underwhelmed this far or frustrated with the implementation is what we know and what they have shown through being active throughout, you know, passing Amendment 3, voting for Amendment 3, talking to their communities, talking to their neighbors, that we need to all stay in this fight and to be working together in order to implement. That it is not only, of course, us as a healthcare provider, Planned Parenthood, Great Rivers, part of us being able to open our doors is the logistics of getting the staff over, back into the Central West End to be able to provide care. But we have to keep the fire on the flame, and that folks have to remain involved in order to make sure that we protect this win throughout this legislative session, and that we, you know, win it also in the courts.
And a follow-up for you, Alexis, what sort of support does National Planned Parenthood provide to a state like Missouri, which has not had robust abortion access in years, if not decades, and will eventually? Because to maybe place a little bit more optimism on my pessimistic question, the court may make abortion access more available in the next 6 to 12 months, including with medication abortion. What support will you provide to the affiliates here to make sure that they're well-staffed, have the right people and equipment in place, and have the right infrastructure here?
Look, freedom is never conceded without demand. And I think that the movement support that we have worked with our affiliates, including Planned Parenthood Great Rivers here, to build that support and engage communities around the fight for freedom, whether that is the litigation support, whether that is the support to, to fundraise, the support to engage and provide, access to broader care here, I think is absolutely critical and urgent. You know, our local affiliates, they are the decision makers around the operational decisions around healthcare, and I think that is where their leadership is best understood, right, in terms of what patients need in any given moment and how to serve them best. And so we support them by creating the conditions, I would say, to help that care happen.
So as I'm sure you know, because Margo has probably told you, the legislature is going to try to put something on the ballot that will repeal and replace Amendment 3 with basically a de facto abortion ban. I could see this happening in other states that may have robust abortion access, like Montana, for example, has a robust abortion access, North Dakota too. What do you think needs to be the mentality of the abortion rights movement when there is this kind of counterattack from people that fervently believe abortion is wrong and should be banned? Because if it's not coming in 2026 in Missouri, it'll be coming in 2028, most likely.
I mean, our posture doesn't change. Like, this fight didn't just happen in 2022 when the Dobbs decision happened, right? We have been, advancing and then watching that those advancements be rolled back, right, over time. But every time they try to come for Planned Parenthood, they try to come for abortion access, we also demonstrate increasing support for our ability to access reproductive freedom. And I think that's actually the lesson that we should be taking away. Not that they're going to continue to come for, our rights, but the fact that the people are growing and understand in a much more expansive way the importance of abortion as part of a reproductive healthcare spectrum of care that Planned Parenthood provides, that our independent providers provide, and that help us understand why it is so essential, an essential part of self-determination for our community.
This is not new to us. It is not new to Missouri. And folks have been in this fight for a long time and believe and know that they deserve access to health care, which includes abortion access in their own state, that no one should have to cross state lines in order to get the health care that they need, and that folks can continue to rely on us for that care, and we'll still be here in this fight, and we won't give up no matter what.
That was National Planned Parenthood President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson and Planned Parenthood Great Rivers President and CEO Margo Riphagen talking to me about Missouri's place in the abortion rights movement. You can read all of our coverage of Missouri politics by going to stlpr.org. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, and thank you for listening. Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich. Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.